Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you for making us a part of your day.
Now in stereo.
Now in stereo, indeed. So what, Ben? You've heard it's happening tomorrow? Celebration?
I honestly don't know.
Don't go to work tomorrow?
I'm not telling you when to go. There were some rumors circulating that seemed to point to tomorrow. Now, I think this is a very fluid situation. And, you know, all the governors are going to get together and vote today to approve the move to Salt Lake City for the Arizona Coyotes. And I don't think Ryan Smith wants to wait a whole long time to lose that momentum. So that's what I would expect, but I could be wrong. But again, that is truly a rumor I saw circulating on the internet by somebody who was involved in the catering aspect of
it. Well, listen, the bacon dogs people have to be aware.
Sure.
I mean, they have to know where they've got to have those bacon dogs at a moment's notice.
The more important part, even though I do think there needs to be a huge party and blow it out and have everybody here and come down to the Delta Center whenever they announce this thing, whenever it is, that today at 1 o'clock, 1:30 during Hans and Scotty's show, you're going to see a tweet come down that it's official, that it's been sold and that Ryan Smith's the new owner of the team. And we're bringing an NHL team. And again, watching last night was so surreal to see people, even if it was just 5,000 or whatever, that love this thing and want this thing there. And it is a cash cow. They, you know, it's not that they just print money, but they raise in value pretty consistently. The major four sports teams or leagues do right now in the U.S. To lose it is just such a fumble. And to watch it unfold the way it has so quickly is stunning. And the number of missteps that had to be made by ownership to get there, to alienate fans, to not bring fans to the stadium, to not have a stadium to house the fans, to take where the team was and move them, which, by the way, is one of the great things about both the Jazz and the hockey team playing in the Delta Center in the future and not moving it out south. I know that seems like a doable situation. Don't play with fire. You just don't know. This works. Salt Lake works. Downtown works. Keep it here, and I'm glad they are.
Was it a huge fumble for Atlanta to lose the Thrashers? I don't think they cared.
I don't know. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either, but
watching it last night, it felt like just an unbelievable loss.
No, I just wonder, like Seattle, they lost the Sonics and they won't shut up about it.
Huge
fumble. They cared. You know, I'm trying to think of other examples. Like, you know, Hartford lost the Whalers. It seems like they cared, I suppose, but there aren't enough of them that anybody else cared, right?
Cleveland Barons, NHL team. Came, I think, lasted like 2 years. Just gone.
Nobody noticed.
Failed.
I mean, it didn't work.
Turned into the North Star.
Yeah, right. So, I don't know. I don't think the NHL is obligated in some way, shape, or form to service a community that doesn't want
it. No, of course not. No.
That's not going to support
it. It's not on the NHL.
Yeah.
It's on the ownership, right. And it's on the fans. And it's a dual relationship. The fans have to show up so the owner feels supported. Well, guess what? They're approving a $1 billion investment in this hockey team. The fans have showed up. They put their money where their mouth is. The fans voted for people who are voting for this. You trusted that these people would represent you in the government, and they said, we think this is the best way to spend your money. So the fans have showed up. They have. Now Ryan Smith has to match it with a product that's going to fit. He has unbelievable tools to get it to work. Everything I have read, watched last night, listened to, this is a cool young team. On the rise, going to be good, real star players, more future draft assets, all the right things are in place. It would take a fumble for this team not to hit new highs and potentially be contending within 4 or 5 years with the right types of move and back in the playoffs, maybe as soon as next season, if not 2 years from now. So it's all there. All of the pieces are there. This is the right situation. It's the right type of team. It's the right moment for Salt Lake City. I think it's the right owner. I think all the things are there and are moving in the right direction. And now you need a little bit of that magic and you need to have reasons to come out. And it can't be, even though this is awesome, Connor McDavid's going to be playing in Salt Lake City. If you don't know, if you're not a hockey fan, Connor McDavid is the great one right now. He just became, I think, the fourth player ever to have 100 assists in a season. It's Lemieux or Gretzky, McDavid. Like, he's there. He's one of those guys. But it can't just be, come and see the stars from other teams. That can't be the sale.
Well, see, now you're talking about marketing, which I do think is really interesting. You know, the best way to market a new franchise in this thing. And I think you're... See, the NBA is so much more of a TV show. I think you can get away with that. That you're selling tickets to come see LeBron. I still think NHL is more similar to Major League Baseball, where the ticket itself is so important that it's a real community thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's so if I'm marketing, I'm marketing the team for sure. I'm marketing the community, especially now name recognition is a huge thing in the market right now. So you'd almost be foolish to market, you know, NHL stars overly, because a lot of us don't appreciate that.
Yep.
So yeah, no, for a really ghoulish reason, but this has worked really well in Las Vegas. Like, the Golden Knights are a real community franchise, embraced by that whole, it's a Vegas thing. Where the Raiders are selling tickets to the road team, the Golden Knights are very community, and it has something, I'm not going to say everything, but something to do with the tragedy.
Yeah.
The shooting, and the Golden Knights were just starting, and they really embraced and did a lot for the community. They did a lot of service and all these things that made them, you know, feel like part of Vegas. But that's the way to market the thing. Not, you get my point. It's Salt Lake's franchise. I mean, it's the Yetis or the the Coolers
Outlaws,
or whatever, yeah, which is right. What I think of when I think of the word Yeti.
Yeah.
Have you seen those Yeti, like, soft bag coolers mm-hmm. that, I'm not kidding, like 110 degrees at Lake Powell. I don't think we lost an ice
yeah,
cube.
Yeah, they're it's nice.
Absolutely
Yeti
incredible.
Makes a good product.
The coolers. Huh? Yeah. Huh? Anybody?
Sure.
Anybody? Ice? Yeah.
I get you.
But I think that's it. I think you got to sell tickets. You got to reach out. You got to do. And here's who was talking about this the other day, Ben? Help me remember. But like wanting to make a junior hockey program just like the Junior Jazz. Like that stuff. That stuff, I think, is what's really going to sell tickets ultimately, is you're here, this is a community team, that sort of feel to it. I'm with you. If you're marketing the other stars coming through town, I don't think that's how that's going to be as effective.
You are really right there. It's going to be an overlooked part of it. The swell of junior hockey leagues that are going to pop up in Salt Lake City and explode are going to have a huge impact on this team having success, because you are going to have a bunch of 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds who start playing hockey, fall in love with it, and want to go to the games, and are going to be lifelong fans. And that's going to be a huge part of it. And one of the things that we do really well, we have kids. We make a lot of kids in Salt Lake City and Utah and Provo and Ogden, all over. We make a lot of kids.
We're very fertile.
Yeah. And that's good for a growing fan base. And when you have a bunch of young players who are going to be fun to watch and exciting, and the games are fun to go to, that's going to be a huge boost for Salt Lake City, and is going to be a growth aspect that probably gets overlooked, that the smart people in charge over there at the Jazz and SEG Media and entertainment, whatever it is now, are really going to lean into and make a big deal out of that. And you're going to see more hockey rinks pop up. I mean, look, Ryan's got to figure out where they're going to practice. I would imagine right now they probably either do the...
The Cobb-Win Heights Rec Center, man!
Probably not that. It's probably going to be the Maverick Center, I would think, if you can practice on non-Grizzlies days and you can share ice time, or there is the Olympic Oval, which I don't know if you can do it up there. I honestly don't know. But, you know, Steiner has one.
Yeah, like, what's the one up at the U?
There are places to go. You can figure
Bountiful
that out.
Bountiful has a nice one.
But that's the thing. You know what there's going to be? There's going to be 20 in no time. I mean, ice skating, I live by the Mill Creek Ice Rink, the little figure eight that they have over there. So you're not going to be able to use it in a couple of years. It's going to be too small because everyone's going to be ice skating, because hockey's going to blow up. Ice skating in this world. It's going to, in our world, it's going to become a huge thing. And we have this funny infrastructure in Utah where every church has a basketball court in it, so you can always play basketball. Ice is going to be a little more of a rarity, and it's going to build up.
Hey, non-Mill Creek resident, stay out of my ice rink, pal.
You don't want me coming up the street and going to your ice rink?
I didn't pour my hard-earned tax dollars into that ice rink for you to come and enjoy it with your children.
That's life, man.
Stay out of my figure eight, bro.
Free milk.
We're going to see him pop up all over the place. I hope so. I think, you know, and I'm totally speaking selfishly, of course, but, you know, the healthier and better our sports community is, the better it is for our station. I think sports is still one of the great unifiers in life. I think it's better for everybody, and certainly a sign that where maybe our community is headed.
Sometimes I can't see the forest through the trees with this job. We're so close to sports, I lose some of the feel of why it's important to the community because it's what I do for a living. No, you know what I mean? I have a different perspective on it than I used to growing up and everything. Watching the game last night, I was just totally reminded of it. It's a thing. It's a community thing. People love it. People fall in love with the players. People really, it's their identity. It's a piece of you carve out. The number of couples that they showed on the broadcast after the game, because, I mean, the players stayed on the ice for 30 minutes after, throwing everything they owned out into the crowd, making sure the kids had it. But the number of couples that were wearing, you know, matching Coyotes jerseys, crying together in the stands. It's like, yeah, that's a way people meet. It's a way people bond. It's a relief that people share in their lives when they get off work and are stressed out. And it's something to lean into. And I'm very thrilled that we're getting that here. And we're bringing another one of those here. And it's going to double the chances of bringing a title here. But it just brings another opportunity to have something to root for and bring the community together. And that's something we can all do.
Let's hear from the goalie. Here's Connor Ingram on how he's excited for a change. But it's going to be hard for others as well.
For guys like me, it's exciting. Not to leave Arizona, but just to go somewhere new and see it, you know. It's easy. I don't own a house here. I don't have children. Guys like me, I'm used to it. But it's the people with families, the guys changing schools for kids, the staff that need to buy houses and do all those things. You know, this isn't about a hockey team moving. This is people's lives we're uprooting here. And I think people need to remember that there's a lot that goes on, and a lot of these people that don't get the credit they deserve are gonna have to do a lot to make this work. And I think those people deserve some recognition. So it's easy for guys like me, but there's people that it's harder on, no doubt about it.
True.
You know what?
It's not easy to move children.
What he's right about there, though, and why it's going to work here, and why I don't think these players are going to have, not that the players ever would have had a hard time adjusting. Like, they're living the dream. They're getting paid millions of dollars. They're in the primes of their lives. Like, this is as exciting as it gets. But these young kids are going to rally around Salt Lake. You know where you take them? Take them to Park City. Go walk Main Street. It's a mountain town. These kids grew up in Canada. Cold weather environments, for the most part, not exclusively, but a lot of them, like, they're going to fit in just fine in our little mountain town. They're going to be just fine here. The weather's not going to bug them. They're going to fit in just fine. They're young. As we said, this core is all 23 and younger. Connor Ingram's one of the old guys on the team. He's 27. So they're going to be fine. Yeah, the coach is going to have to figure it out. Bill Ingram's going to have to figure it out. Like, they're going to have to move. That is also the life of professional coaches. You have these jobs for 3 years, 4 years. You're moving all the time.
Well, and that he's right, but nobody cares.
Yeah, also nobody cares. Yeah.
You know what I do, Ben? Get them down to Vernal. Then maybe to the Dinosaur Monument, right? Then maybe over to, over to Beaver for that, what's that burger joint in Beaver that everybody stops at? That place is great. You know what I'm talking about?
I've never been.
Never?
No, I don't go through Beaver often.
Oh, everybody. What, you don't? Have you never?
I don't make it past the Mill Creek Rink. That's as far as I get away from Salt Lake City.
You don't drive
33rd South and Highland Drive.
I-15 South down our state. Very often.
Never.
Seems like I find myself doing that at least a couple times a year. I'm going to do it in like 2 weeks.
Why?
Go to Vegas, baby.
Why?
Recreation.
Okay. I didn't know that. I guess I got to make plans.
I don't think I'm going to miss a show.
Oh, okay, great. That's easy for me then.
Go to Vegas. I mean, how do you raise proper children without taking them to Las Vegas?
Taking them to Las Vegas.
Are you kidding?
Scaring the children.
How are we supposed to teach life lessons? Speaking of which, maybe I'll take in a Golden Knights game.
They're coming here. You don't need to.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. The Avalanche are coming. The Red Wings are coming. I was a Red Wings fan growing up because they were good, and it was easy to turn on that team.
Front runner.
Absolutely. When I was nine, I was a front runner. When I owned NHL 94 for Sega Genesis.
Great game.
Really easy to play with, as I said, Fedorov and Yzerman and just rack up the goals. Really easy to do. Fun. Easy. All of that history is coming here. The Rangers are coming here. Like, it's so cool. It is not pretend. It's not dipping your toe. It's not, oh, maybe if someone gets sent down to the minor leagues, they're going to warm up at the Bees. With all due respect to the Bees, which are a staple of our community. This is the best players on the planet in this sport. Sidney Crosby is going to come play here. I can't wait to cover these games. And I don't know what my job is. I don't know what I'm going to have to do about it. I know you and I are going to talk about it on the radio. I can't wait to have this be a part of our job.
Ben, listen up. This next read is for you. Golfers, join the Saturday show as we broadcast live from the Uinta Golf Demo Days this Saturday from 10 to noon at Mulligan's, 106 South, 692 West in South Jordan. First 100 people in the gate will get a free lunch and enter to win free gear courtesy of our friends at Uinta Golf. Ben, go. I think you just need to hit the modern iron and realize, yeah, I got to do something.
Better than what I have. Better than what I'm working with at home.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Get down and hit a few. This is the perfect opportunity. Jazz season's over. Take the kids. It's Mulligan's for crying out loud. You can do a little putt-putt round while you're there. Come on now.
Take the hockey players golfing. They'll like that.
Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, we have more next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Get the official debit cards of the Utah Jazz, University of Utah Sports, Real Salt Lake, and more exclusively at America First Credit Union. You know what I like about our show, Ben, is that we both acknowledge that nobody cares about what we have to say. Nobody cares. I've never changed anybody's mind about anything.
It's a fine line. It's a fine line you got to walk.
You know what? I'm fine with it, though. I don't want to be taken seriously as a person.
Did you see the Greg Doyle?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought this up. Yes, I did.
So Greg Doyle is a columnist in, what is he, the Indy Star. Indy Star. And he's one of the columnists around the country.
Like, he's been doing it forever.
There are a handful of guys who are somewhat infamous. So they introduced Caitlin Clark yesterday, and we've all seen it. If you watch Caitlin Clark, after every game, she throws the little hand signal of hearts to her, you know, where you put your thumb and your fingers together to make a heart sign, to her parents and her brother.
What about the men's coach's son? Isn't that her love interest?
Oh, is that who it is? Yeah. Whatever. Fine. She throws the heart to her family. You know, her fine. Her boyfriend is family.
Her peeps.
Yes. So Greg Doyle, during Caitlin Clark's introductory press conference, the biggest moment in Indiana Fever history, raises his hand and does that to her.
When he's asking a question. It's his turn, right?
And she says, yeah, I do that for my family.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, well, if you send that to me, you and I will do just fine, which is obviously creepy. I don't know if he meant it that creepy. He had a big article about how he didn't mean to be creepy and how he's got to treat her differently than he has players. And you can't just ask awkward questions, even though he's been able to do it for men his whole life, et cetera, et cetera. But it's just like, you don't matter, Greg. You don't matter. You know who matters? The person who's sitting up on the podium that everyone is there to follow, not how do you put yourself into this conversation. Shocking.
Well, it's. I don't think he was. Well, maybe. Yes, you're right. He was trying to put himself.
And then he wrote an article about
it. He didn't want to go viral for the reason that he did.
But then he wrote an article about me and who I am and how this is how I am and I need to fix that. But this is about me. He said me 50 times in the article. Weird.
Here's you, Ben. We just sat through a couple of weeks ago some training around here. Had a lot to do with sexual harassment was a big part of it. And throughout it all, I couldn't help just sitting there thinking, like, it's not really hard to not be a creep. it's not really
easy to not do
to not
be
creepy. It's not really hard to avoid that sort of behavior, and at least I don't think it has been. I don't understand why Greg You're going to be a creep? What? You're going to do some creepy thing with your hands? Just ask her about where do you fit into the offense? Have you talked to the coaching staff? How many press conferences for introductory press conferences have you sat through, Ben? I asked Quinn Snyder at his introductory press conference what his business model was. Like, what's your game plan for success? Like, relevant to a coach who's taking over a team. A player like Caitlin, well, what position do you, how do you envision fitting in? Like, how do you like Indianapolis? Why are you doing the creepy heart thing?
This is how our relationship's going to look, Caitlin.
What?
Okay, Greg. Cool story, Greg.
You're doing a great job. Oh, and then to write a column about how he's not creepy is kind of hilarious. I don't know, Greg. Because now I think you kind of are.
Well, you've doubled down. Even though you thought you were backing out, you've made it worse somehow. But today, we're probably a little more than 90 minutes away. I expect to hear the news that the Coyotes are officially on their way to Salt Lake City, and we'll see how quickly they can get
here. You think they have to fly in and meet in person, or is this like a Zoom thing?
Oh, no, I'm sure it's a Zoom call.
With the owners.
No, you can't get all these.
Dude, I'd take it as an opportunity to take like, hey, man, we're the only place this deal is getting done is in Kona.
And the deal ain't getting done.
The only place this vote gets done is in Fiji.
I think today's the last day of the regular season in hockey. I think a couple of teams still have to play today. I don't think it was everybody last night. Only like four games were played last night. So I suspect everyone's busy and getting geared up for the playoffs. And I actually had the same thought. Like the logistics of getting all those people on a Zoom call is probably not that easy, actually. Because, you know, we have a Zoom call every Thursday on the digital side, and it's hard to get everyone out at the same time. This is our jobs.
This is why I think they should do it in Cabo, because like there are certain things that are so important you have to drop everything. Like billion-dollar transactions are those things, right? So use it as an excuse to really drop everything. Like, yeah, I got to cancel. I got to clear my whole day because this vote is very important. Give me to Cabo.
Yeah. Why?
We're going to have Sammy Hagar play live as we approve this deal.
The Morello guy did not show up to anything yesterday. The owner, which, understandably, you're not welcome here. This is your doing. The reason we're playing
at the game?
At the game. He was not there. He was not present. They had Shane Doan, who's the greatest player in history, and his son is on the team, and is going to be moving to Salt Lake City. I don't know if Shane is, but his son obviously is. And, the Morello he wasn't mentioned. They didn't talk about him at all. They talked about Ryan Smith a little bit after the game. They didn't mention this Morello guy.
Oh, that guy should move.
The idea that he's going to get a team and bring it back, there's no chance.
You know, what's funny is a lot of times the appeal of owning a sports franchise is notoriety. Like, you rich, egocentric people make $1 billion and still people have no idea who he is or she.
Right.
They have no clue. But all of a sudden you buy a sports franchise and everybody knows
you're mover and a shaker.
It's a weird thing. But if it goes badly for you, you're persona non grata. Like how do you go on in Phoenix like that dude? I bet you, does Howard Schultz still live in Seattle?
I mean,
he might have had to move.
He's got the coffee money still, right? But
yeah, I mean, I think the company's based in Seattle still, but does he physically live there?
Yeah, does he get to hang out and be like, I'm the enemy of the people?
I don't think that dude can walk down the road in Seattle, can he? He can't go over to Pike Place and get some fresh peppers.
I'm sure Sarver left the Phoenix area.
I think you'd have to.
Yeah, you probably have to. Yeah, the idea, and I felt bad listening to everything I listened to. This like still somewhat desperation they have that this Morello guy can figure it out. It's like, it's the dad who's not coming to pick you up fishing for the fifth straight time. It's just like, he's a letdown. He's not a failure.
Yeah.
He's built all this. He's the first of his family, et cetera, all these things. He's a letdown. He's going to continue to let you down. And the NHL knows that. And that's why the NHL got out of the Morello business and got into the Ryan Smith business, because they believe Ryan Smith can back up what he's saying. And you know what? So far he has.
I bet you Donald Sterling can still walk down the streets in L.A. just fine.
Yeah, I don't think he would care.
For two reasons. Well, this one dials into what you just talked about there, is he's familiar with being unpopular and has been for years. And Number two, just an example of how nobody cares about the Clippers. Like, nobody cares about the Clippers enough to be angry. You know what I mean? People yep. cared about the Sonics. Howard Schultz can't show his face. Donald Sterling's probably strolling down Sunset as we speak. Actually, I have no idea. Is he even still with us?
He might have died. You might be right.
Oh, I know he wasn't looking good there at the end of his yeah. Clipper run. But isn't that interesting how you can be, you know, Larry Miller, his name is going to ring out in this community for decades to yep. come, right? But if it didn't go well for the Jazz and they ended up moving in 1992, he probably would have built a car empire in Idaho or something.
Don Sterling, 89, still alive.
Still alive.
Still kicking.
Isn't that interesting that when they had two franchises in L.A. with two new owners, they picked two real estate people? Like, and then one did incredibly well, and one couldn't have done it more poorly.
It's the thought I had all night last night. And again, I don't know what the future holds for Ryan Smith. I don't know what his ownership's going to look like. It changes. Things grow and morph and adapt and, you know, have highs and lows. And I'm sure there will be controversies. And I hope the biggest controversy he ever has is half the fan base or more didn't like the jerseys. You know, that's what you hope. But it is amazing that the luck of the draw of who your local billionaire is such a big deal. And how they got, you know what I mean? Yeah. Okay, you hit on a couple of lucky real estate deals in Los Angeles, and now you're a billionaire and you own one of the teams. It's like, well, what if you're a bad guy?
Or in his case, certainly a bad guy and a bad owner.
Yeah, top of it.
Didn't really have any interest in succeeding.
Like, you hope that your local billionaires that have the money to play with these toys that are professional sports teams actually care and have some human qualities to them. And watching the Coyotes last night and what this Morello guy has done, a mess. And I think right now, so far, we've been really lucky that the Millers chose Salt Lake City and became billionaires here and did what they did. And I hope to bring an MLB team. And that our next local billionaire, there's been some that have tried and have screwed it up, that want to own sports teams, is Ryan Smith and is actually doing a good job doing it.
Yeah, I think he's doing fine. Back to how we started. I have no doubt that the organization will be run just
look,
fine.
We've had a terrible owner in the last 10 years of a local sports team. Terrible. Did the same Donald Sterling stuff. Saying racist things to players. Making huge mistakes. Hiring the wrong people.
Oh, yeah. His Rasputin was the wrong person.
A nightmare.
Yeah.
An absolute joke. And wanted this empire. And it exposed him.
He's still around. He didn't have to move, right?
He is. But that's not who's buying this hockey team right now.
No.
And I personally, you feel however you want. I'm thankful that that's the case so far.
Had you heard of Deloitte before he bought RSL?
I knew that there was a Cash Valley billionaire, and I couldn't have told you anything about him.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of him. Now he's known around town. I just say it because it's funny, the sports ownership and the celebrity that comes with it.
Yeah, it's a total thing. He owns half of Salt Lake.
Nobody knew his name.
Nobody knew it.
Sometimes that's a good thing.
Some people, that's better.
That's a good thing.
Yep.
Oh, man. All right, stay tuned. We'll wrap up. Jake and Ben coming up around the corner, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you for making us a part of your day. I want to remind you about the good folks at Peach, our 50-segment sponsor, Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. Ben, did you see that there's a report out there that Jerry Jones is offering double to whatever Kentucky commits, follow Coach Cal to Arkansas?
Huh. Well, they're happy about their new prize in Coach Calipari, and they will sour on him once they pay double the going rate to get a player to get eliminated in the round of 32 and not get out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. But they're going to be excited about all the players that go to Arkansas that never would have before. And that's even started a couple of years ago. Nick Smith Jr., Anthony Black were both top 10 high school recruits and were actually randomly from Arkansas, and that's part of the reason they went there. But I'll be curious to watch where this goes.
How does Arkansas lose as much as they do? We were talking about this off the air. They got the Tyson Chicken guy. They got Jera.
Does Ronnie Brewer still work there? Is he still on the staff?
Oh, man, I like Ronnie Brewer. I hope so.
He'd been on the staff for a while, so. But I wonder if he went to USC. Is that where Muss went?
Oh, he
right?
followed the Muscle Man?
Yeah.
I don't know. I always like
Ronnie
Brewer.
I mean,
Ronnie
he's an Arkansas guy through and through.
But come on. For all the universities out there now that are scrambling and begging big-time donors to cut big checks. Arkansas is apparently just swimming in dough, yet they stink.
It. Yeah, they haven't been great. I mean, they made a little bit of a run last year. Not this year, this last year. But yeah, it's been a while since
But the Muscle Man couldn't have gone out there fast enough.
And is a great coach.
Right.
Like, is a far better coach than Calipari.
Yeah, although I've heard some things about Muscle Man.
Sure. Yeah.
That's because it's college basketball. Yeah. You hear stuff about all the coaches.
Oh, I mean, where was he at? Nevada first, right?
Well, he was in the NBA. I mean, right. he's been around everywhere.
He DUI'd himself out of the NBA?
Something like that. And then rehabbed his poor choice of words. I didn't do that intentionally. But put his career back together at Nevada.
Ripped his shirt off, right? He was the shirt off guy?
That was at Arkansas, yeah. I think that was at Arkansas. I don't think that's why he was at Nevada.
Anyways, yeah, I think Musselman's a good coach. I don't think Calipari's a good coach.
Look at how ripped I am!
So... I'll be curious, yeah, if they...
How many times have you been compelled to just rip your shirt off?
Constantly, yeah, after every show.
In anger or excitement?
It's not my thing. Nor do I have the bod to go out flashing. I'll be curious
Not when you were fighting that bouncer at Bricks or whatever it was?
No.
Where you didn't rip your shirt off and say, all right, pal!
Those gentlemen were all much larger than I was.
Now we're going to dance!
I'm really curious to see what Kevin Young does. There's a ton of excitement about him at BYU, and rightfully so. There's just a lot of money in sports right now in the state of Utah, and I'm curious how it all gets directed and who's willing to pay for what.
You think Kevin Young was so excited about the BYU job he ripped his shirt off immediately after signing the contract?
Don't think that would have aged well at BYU, particularly. But then again, who was it Rose who ripped his jacket off notoriously and slammed it into the...
I think Dave did.
Yeah, he was the jacket ripper. So, which is different than taking your clothes off.
Dave got caught on camera saying a bad word when he was an assistant coach, and there were people out there who thought that he wouldn't get the BYU job because of that dirty word on camera.
I'll be curious to the words that we see Mark Pope say now he's at Kentucky. A little bit different.
Colorful.
More colorful.
He's a rip your shirt off in celebration kind of guy.
Yep, he is. Yes, he is.
He heard... Scott Drew passed on the job and was like, yeah!
Bleep this.
Shirts off!
We got fun college basketball next year, and I don't know if any of it's in state, unfortunately. I'm really fascinated to see what Danny Sprinkle does at Washington. I'm curious to see what the former Pac-12 schools do in the Big Ten. I'm curious how our local schools do in the Big 12, obviously. But I want to see if Utah State can rebuild again on the fly. But I can't wait to see how Mark Pope does it Kentucky? It's going to be a really fascinating college season with a lot of local ties and not maybe because of the local teams. I don't know how good any of our three local teams are going to be next year. If I were to ask you now, with the Kevin Young hire still top of mind, how many local teams do we have in the NCAA tournament next season? How many would you say?
I have no idea, but you can't let you... College basketball is so fluid. Who has any idea?
Welcome to the exact reason I'm asking you this question. That's exactly the darn reason I'm asking you this question. If we knew it was four, I wouldn't have asked the question.
But how do you
predict,
how do you predict something?
How many NBA teams do we have next year? Odds are it's one. That's an easy question to answer.
Like
that's why I asked the question.
You have no idea who's going to be on the team. So how do you predict something
exactly
like that?
Exactly right. That's why I'm asking.
I can't predict it. That's why I said I have no idea.
Lack of playing along. Right.
I'm trying to answer your question. I have no clue.
I don't know.
There's nothing to base it on.
Over, like, under. Over, under. And instead of you giving one of the binary answers, which is over or under, you found the rare third option, which is, oh, I don't know.
But my point is, if you ask me if Utah football is going to make a bowl game next year, I could give you an opinion on that that is based on who's on the team.
They're going to make a bowl game next year.
See, you're comfortable in making that prediction because you're aware of who's on the team. How am I supposed to predict something when I don't even know who's going to be on the team?
Because that's part of our jobs.
It's not, though.
It's part of our jobs.
It's not.
Absolutely is part of our jobs. To look forward, speculate,
to give baseless
have
predictions.
Fun. Yeah, that's that's what I'm asking you, though, is the reason I'm excited about all these other schools outside of Utah is because we don't know locally, which was the point of my question. We don't know. And so if I said over under, when I said it at a half a team, 1.5 teams, I would probably take the under on a half team. I don't think we're going to have any NCAA tournament teams next year, but I'm still interested in college basketball.
Ben, will Utah's Major League Baseball team make the playoffs in their first year?
No. Not an expansion team. No. I'll tell you the answer. It's going to be a while. See? That's how you give a firm answer to a question. That's compelling. In the next hour, we are hoping to have a hockey team officially announced for Salt Lake City, courtesy of the Arizona Coyotes. We'll see.
All right. Stay tuned. Hans and Scotty G coming up next. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.